Substance abuse has the power to completely ruin people's lives and their relationships. Loved ones are often unwilling to help enable them, become tired of all the broken promises, and sadly, many people are estranged or have been disowned by their family because of their addictions. This kind of scenario could possibly be the reason why a young girl has been unidentified for almost 20 years as she sadly lost her life to an overdose. Let's uncover the case of the Tempe County Jane Doe. Hello and welcome to the 37th episode of Uncover True Crime Podcast. My name is Stephanie and each week we uncover a different unsolved true crime case ranging from missing persons, unsolved murders, Jane and John Doe's and suspicious deaths. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher and other podcast streaming apps, as well as on YouTube by searching Uncover True Crime. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at @uncover_pod, on Instagram at Uncover True Crime Pod, or you can join the Uncover True Crime discussion group on Facebook. But without any further ado, let's uncover the case of the Tempe County Jane Doe. On the 27th of April 2002, the body of a young female was found behind a strip mall on the 1850 block of East University Drive in Phoenix, Arizona. She was fully clothed, her face was recognisable, and it was clear she hadn't been there long. Next to her was a CD case, so police checked it for prints in the hopes of finding the owner and the young girl's identity. The prints were matched to an unnamed woman in the area who said that the CD case was hers and that she normally kept it in her car, but she didn't know who the girl was or how her CD case had ended up behind the strip mall. She said that her boyfriend had had access to her car the day before, so he was also questioned. He said that Jane Doe had been hitchhiking on 32nd Street and Greenway Road in Phoenix when he picked her up, approximately 17 miles away from where she was found. She spoke to him in Spanish and said that her mother had disowned her due to her drug use and that she was effectively homeless with nowhere to go. She mentioned having concert tickets, but during the journey, she asked the man to change the route so she could exchange the tickets for drugs. I have also read that she asked him where she could buy drugs, so he drove her to someone who would sell her cocaine. While I'm not sure exactly what account is accurate, the man pulled over somewhere during the 17-mile journey, another man got in the back, and did indeed sell the young girl cocaine. I don't know where exactly the drug dealer was picked up, or how long it took for Jane Doe to have an adverse reaction, but it's some point after taking the drug, she had a seizure. The two men panicked and apparently dumped the girl round the back of the strip mall where she was found the next day. But there also seems to be some discrepancy with this detail, as Detective John Thompson said, quote, "Whether she fell or was pushed out of a car or got out on her own, we don't know. We do have a 911 call that came in from Circle K, but the call was intelligible," unquote. The medical examiner was unable to determine if she had died before or after the men left her at the back of the strip mall, and they were unsure if Jane Doe was a juvenile, so the man driving the car couldn't be charged with concealment of a dead body or endangering the welfare of a minor. The medical examiner was able to determine that she did in fact die from cocaine intoxication, but when referring to the amount of cocaine found in her system, Detective John Thompson said, quote, "I don't think it was a completely spectacular amount," unquote. While it is possible the cocaine was cut with fentanyl or some other toxic substance, it's also possible that Jane Doe hadn't taken cocaine for a while prior to her death, and her tolerance to the drug had dropped dramatically. She then goes back to taking the same amount she had previously taken, but her body couldn't handle it, and it proved to be fatal. Although this is just a theory, it seems as though she had the seizure very quickly after snorting the cocaine. Police believe she was approximately 17 years old, but have set an approximate age range between 15 and 19, although personally, I wouldn't be surprised if she was young as 14. Police believe she is either Hispanic, Native American, or biracial, but from postmortem photos available online and the fact that she only spoke Spanish, I think she was most likely Latino or Hispanic. The Phoenix Police Department have checked with all nearby schools for a missing pupil and have searched through missing persons reports, but Detective Thompson said they are no further forward in identifying the Tempe County Jane Doe. Quote, "I still find it odd that no one's come forward yet. We've just got nothing. I do hope that at some point we will at least be able to tell her family," unquote. Another thing worth mentioning is that Arizona shares a border with Mexico, so it's possible she was originally Mexican and decided to start a new life in America after her family disowned her. If this is true, it's unsurprising she's remained a Jane Doe for 18 years, but the Phoenix Police Department are working closely with the Mexican consulate in the hopes of locating her family and giving her her name back. 5 missing women have all been ruled out as being the Tempe County Jane Doe, and I'm going to list them now. Maria Mauricio, missing since the 20th of January 1997 from Maricopa, Arizona. Leanne Houseberg, missing since the 18th of March 1999 from Brooklyn, New York. Veronica Martinez, last seen on the 19th of March 2001 in Santa Quinn, California. Alyssa Turney, last seen on the 17th of May 2001 in Maricopa, Arizona. Florinda Lopez, missing since the 18th of June 2001 from Collier, Florida. And finally, Yolanda Escudero, last seen alive on the 1st of November 2001 in Salem, Oregon. The Tempe County Jane Doe's fingerprints, dental records, and DNA are all available for comparison, and I really hope that this young girl can be reunited with her family soon. There is a good chance that she wasn't reported missing since she told the driver of the vehicle that she had been disowned, so we really need to get her face out there because that's probably the police's best bet in identifying her. So please share the digital recomposite of her and let's reunite her with her family and her name. As I said earlier, there are postmortem photos available of her online. They are not graphic, but I have decided not to include them in the YouTube video or on my website, but they can be found on the Doe Network's website and on her name as profile, which will be in my list of sources over on my website. I'm now going to give you a description of the Tempe County Jane Doe. The young woman was between 15 and 19 years old when she died on the 27th of April 2002, meaning she was probably born sometime between 1983 and 1987. She was either Hispanic, Native American, or biracial, and she spoke Spanish. She was 5'1" tall, weighed 125 pounds, and had straight brown hair and brown eyes. She had an L-shaped scar on the back of her left hand and another scar on her left shoulder. Her name as profile implies that she had many other scars, but I couldn't find a description of them. When she died, she was wearing a red tank top, Watch LA brand blue jeans that had a zip on one side and round eyelets on the waistband, blue underwear, and size 6.5 black slip-on shoes with a 3-inch wedge heel, made by a brand called Lower East Side. Her nails were painted purple, she had a purple bracelet on one wrist, and an elastic hair tie on the other. If you have any information on the Tempe County Jane Doe, or you think you may know her real name, please contact the Tempe County Police Department on 480-350-8311 and quote the case number 0206-7577. All pictures and sources related to today's case can be found on our website, Uncover True Crime Podcast. .co.uk. That's everything I have for you today. Thank you for listening to the very end. Please stay safe and have a good night.